There have been nearly 9 million cases of COVID in Australia since the start of the pandemic. And in coming weeks, there's an increased chance you'll catch it for the first time or, if you've already had it, be reinfected. The virus impacts everyone differently, but around 5 to 15% of people will continue to experience symptoms long after the initial infection. The third Omicron wave will add to the number of Australians living with long COVID, and this raises significant implications for the health system, from funding to treatment. Associate Professor Anthony Byrne runs the Long COVID Clinic at St Vincent's Hospital in Sydney and joins us now. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks, PK. Thanks for having me.
It's expected millions of Australians will have COVID over the coming weeks. You have a waiting list 3 to 4 months long. Do you expect demand to increase after this winter COVID wave?
Yeah, look, unfortunately, we do expect that it's going to increase. As you said, we've got increasing numbers, and we just know that with increasing numbers will come increasing cases of long COVID. As you said, about 5%, maybe up to 15%.
What falls into the category of long COVID, and what do we know about who is at the highest risk of actually contracting it?
Yeah, so we certainly have learned a lot in the last 2.5 years and are learning more each passing week. But long COVID is defined as this persistence of symptoms beyond 12 weeks that are not explained by something else. And so common symptoms that we see in our clinic patients are fatigue and lethargy, breathlessness, brain fog, chest pain, other aches and pains. And just it's for some people, fortunately, most people will recover, as you said, 5 to 15. So the majority will recover, but some have these persistence of symptoms. And we have clear risk factors that have been identified. And some are sort of fairly obvious and some are less obvious. So if you're really sick with your acute COVID and you end up in hospital, that's a clear risk factor for developing long COVID. There is a predominance of older people, but we see a lot of young people as well. And interestingly, the more symptoms you have initially with your acute COVID infection, the more likely you are to go on to develop long COVID. So 5 symptoms is a magic number. So if you have more than 5, then you are more likely to have long COVID. And females are also at an increased risk of long COVID, which is particularly interesting. And it might sort of point to maybe some hormonal reasons for why that might be, but we're still learning a lot.
Yeah, well, we're learning as you go inside of a pandemic, that's for sure. An infectious diseases expert has warned that 1 in 20 Australians infected with COVID-19 during the Omicron wave is expected to still have symptoms 3 months later. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, that seems about right. I mean, we're seeing a lot of people from near and far. And as you said, there is a waiting list. And fortunately, there are other health districts that are developing and starting long COVID clinics, which is really good. But there's as you sort of pointed out, there's a limited number of clinics and there's a limited number of resources and spaces to see patients. So there is a waiting list.
And do you think this is where government's attention should now go? Well, not entirely, obviously, but there should be more resourcing of the consequences of long COVID?
Yeah, I think me and others do think that. I think strengthening the health system is really important, not just for this clinic, but for others. And, we want to look at ways to reduce long COVID, and vaccination is one of those ways, but not as helpful as what we would hope. It certainly prevents hospitalisation and death, and perhaps 15% reduced risk of long COVID. Antivirals, we think that'll probably help reduce long COVID. And but I think this transition from an infectious disease to a non-communicable disease is really interesting. And I think the number of cases we're talking about, this is a public health problem. As you said, millions of people with acute COVID. And if you do the maths, 5% of millions is a lot. So it does translate to a public health problem.
If you've had COVID but didn't contract long COVID, does reinfection increase the likelihood of developing the condition?
It's a good question. I mean, certainly amongst my patients, we've seen patients that have had long COVID and they have reinfection and it sort of flares their symptoms in a lot of cases. But it's not necessarily the case that someone that with their initial infection didn't get long COVID and then the second one does. I think there is a component of immunity that's helpful. And then there's certain risk factors, it seems, that predispose people to develop long COVID. So if they didn't get it the first time, perhaps they won't get it the second time. But I think it's a work in progress, and we don't have really good data on reinfection and risk of long COVID yet.
Now, your dedicated clinic has been running for 3 months. What kind of therapies do you offer?
Yeah, look, it's really detective work that we're sort of looking through and seeing what new conditions we are diagnosing in these patients that we can treat. Unfortunately, at the moment, we don't have a magic pill to just treat long COVID patients, but we do know that there is an increased rate of certain conditions. So, you know, for example, dysfunction of breathing. So some of the muscles are weakened after COVID, and it's not quite as easily as just measuring the oxygen saturation and that's normal, so they're fine. The muscles can actually be affected. And so some of the techniques that the physios and psychologists are using are things like Tai Chi to retrain respiratory muscles. And, you know, there are other conditions such as blood clots that we find in a small number of patients that we can treat. There's also autonomic dysfunction, so dysfunction of the way the nerves work after COVID, and that can affect the heart, and sometimes people can get palpitations, and that can be diagnosed and treated in a small number of patients. So we're sort of developing these tools to treat long COVID, but specific evidence-based treatments of long COVID for all comers, particularly for brain fog, is harder, and that's very much needed. More research and more resourcing of those studies.
Well, we hope to check in with you regularly, actually, to find out what emerges, because this is such a new area. Thank you so much for joining us.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.